What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we have it covered here at Bleeding Green Nation, thanks to the fine folk at SB Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL, that's K-I-S-T. Follow at BGN underscore radio to keep up to date with the best Eagles coverage in the game. It's time to get you all caught up on these press conferences before the Week 2 preseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday night. So we have three fresh ones for you. First up is Doug Peterson from August 10th, then Jim Schwartz from August 11th. And finally, Mike Rowe from August 12th. So that's head coach, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, Doug, Jim, Mike, boom, boom, boom. That's all coming your way on this edition of At the Podium. Some news from the Eagles and around the league. The Eagles have waived a safety, Blake Countess, with an injury settlement. They've brought back defensive tackle Aziz Chitou. This move really clears the way for either Trey Sullivan or Jonathan Cyprien to make the roster. Remember that Countess was getting first-team reps of the available safeties in Week 1 of preseason, but this multiple-week hamstring injury for Countess creates a battle between Trey and Sip for the fourth safety role. In other news, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott has reportedly turned down a deal that would pay him $30 million a year and instead is seeking a deal worth $40 million a year. The jokes, of course, were flying on Twitter, but in reality, this just feels like public negotiating by both sides, and the final number will likely land somewhere in the middle. Still, the Cowboys are having a heck of a time signing anybody this offseason, as Zeke's contract is still not done, which has led to the Cowboys fans turning Tony Pollard into the next Alvin Kamara, but I digress on that. Quick programming note, I will be at the Podcast Movement in Orlando for the next few days, but you can still count on a new BGN radio with John Stolness and Brandon Lee Gouton. And I'm going to try to sit down with the squirrely Benjamin Solak for a new K&S. That's hopefully all before Thursday's game. But here's what I'm trying to say. I apologize if shows get released a touch late or at weird times this week. And we thank you for your patience as always. All right. So enough jibber jabber about all that. To the podium we go. Remember, it's Doug, followed by Schwartz, then a break, followed by Groh. Let's hear what they had to say in the days leading up to preseason game number two.
6 weeks from what we've heard, an accurate timetable for Nate's return.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you guys know I don't put timetables on it. Obviously, like I said, after the game, it's not, it's not a season-ending thing. We'll get him back soon, so that's what we're excited about.
Doug, is there any change in the stance that you'll bring another quarterback in? I know after Thursday's game you said you're just going to stay with Cody and Clayton.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's really not a lot to be said about the quarterback position. We're very comfortable with the two we have. They're going to get a lot of work now in these next several weeks, obviously, in practice. And it's like any other position on our football team. If we see the need to add depth and value, we will. But at this time, we're confident with the guys we have and moving forward.
Does this change the way you need to construct the 53-man roster? Because if Nate's not back opening day, what would have been the third quarterback needs to be ready to go in if there's an injury.
I mean, those are all things we'll look at. We still got time. You know, there's still, 3 weeks of camp and until we have to make those decisions. But obviously those are decisions when we get closer that we'll have to make.
The first three teams you play in the preseason are all sort of run-heavy teams, some of the more run-heavy teams in the league. Was that by design when you made the schedule?
No. Try to get them all within a 100-mile radius of Philly, but can't do that either.
Doug, a lot of reps today for Carson in the first team. Is that because they didn't play much?
It's the plan. It was the plan today, just because they rested. Have had some rest now the last couple of days, and really wanted to put an emphasis on those guys getting more work as we begin to make a push towards the regular season.
I know you were asked, like after the game Thursday night, if Nate's injury changes your plans for Carson as far as the preseason games are concerned, but like. I mean, is that something you're going to take into account now going forward?
Well, the goal was to get through today and get through this practice and go evaluate this practice, and I'll worry about tomorrow.
Lane is week to week. I know you're not putting time
in.
Lane.
Lane.
Yeah. I know you're not putting timetables on anything, but do you expect him to be good for the regular season?
The anticipation is there, yeah. I would expect him. You know, if I know Lane, he's not going to want to miss that game.
With your tight, I don't know if you've been asked this, but your tight ends, it looks like you're a little short now for the time being. Do you have enough to run practices and go in preseason games?
Yeah, we do. You know, again, it's the three guys that are working and really four guys. You know, Zach got a ton of reps today, and you know, he's pushing with the first unit, and we got to make sure that he's ready to go, so we give him enough stuff. And then, you know, you got your Perks out there, Will Ty, and then Alex. I mean, these guys are getting valuable reps. This is a great opportunity for these young guys right now to really kind of hone in on their skill and ability and what they know with our offense and really get time, you know, moving forward in these games.
We looked at the tape from Thursday.
Yes.
How did Jordan Milata look to you? How do you think he played?
You know, he did some good things. You know, we were pleased with his performance. It wasn't perfect. There were, you know, one or two there, just a little mental error. But overall, I felt like he came out with an eagerness, with an aggressiveness, and really showed the type of player that I think he's capable and what we've seen in him. And it came out in the game.
What about Andre Dillard?
Andre did the same way. He's put in a lot of work. Obviously, he got to start. Did some really good things. We obviously know he can pass protect, but for us it was about the run game and how well he could maneuver in the run game, and he did a good job.
Did anybody else flash that you may not notice during the game?
You know, I think I mentioned after the game, you know, Deshaun Hall was one that as the game progressed, he really began to push the pocket and get around the quarterback and be disruptive. He did a really nice job. I thought just for the short period of time that Razul and Sydney were in the game, I thought both of them, you know, played well. Very vanilla on defense, obviously. So just a chance to see them execute. You know, Sendejo, who chance to start, get out there, get his feet wet. 11, 12 snaps, I think, total. Did a nice job for us, too. So those are some guys that really kind of stood out. Some of the newer guys that we've had here in the last year.
You obviously have a lot of say over the QBs that come into the building. What made you want to bring Cody in, and were you looking for someone with that profile who had starting experience?
Well, anytime you can add depth and value and, you know, bring in that competition, you know, you're going to do it. We've talked about it a lot with every position. Quarterback is not exempt. You know, someone that could come in and push Nate a little bit, you know, because Clayton's obviously a rookie and probably not going to get as much – you know, as many reps in practice as like Cody and Nate would get. So, you know, we're always looking to do that, you know, and it makes everybody better. And Cody has played games. He started games in this league. You know, he's a guy that's got great toughness, as we saw the other night, and, you know, has really embraced the offense, and he's in a good position.
Is that what you wanted from the fourth quarterback after you had those three, was the starting experience? Because you've had more undrafted guys in the past.
Yeah, because the guys you end up, you know, signing, the free agent type guys have usually had a couple games under their belt in the NFL. You know, they've started some games and they've got some experience. But it does, you know, it helps you when you got a guy that's played.
I guess this is kind of a timetable question, but any sense when Cox and Barnett might be back practicing?
They're getting close. You know, they're still working through some individual, doing some drill work that way. But you know, again, it's close.
How much does Nate Sudfeld's injury affect your ability to evaluate him going into the season? I know you wanted him to play a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, we're grateful that he got the time he got in the game the other night. I thought he did some great things, showed great poise, made some great throws. You know, there were a few things that we saw on film. We were able to, you know, we were able to coach them up this afternoon when we watched the tape with the players. But, you know, felt good. It is unfortunate, you know, that he got injured. He will, you know, going to miss the rest of training camp, obviously. But this is a great opportunity for both Cody and Clayton to really embrace now the opportunity that they have in front of them.
How do you like how Clayton responds to when he maybe makes a bad throw or makes a mistake, like how he bounces back the next time he's out?
I mean, that's just what you got to do. Short-term memory, especially at the quarterback position. You know, and you know, for me the other night too, it was about showing confidence in him and putting it right back in his hands, you know, and throw the ball some more. So I thought he did a nice job that way.
Doug, you mentioned Nate and the reps and not being able to get it. Have you learned enough at this point that
when he is healthy, when it's week two, week three, that you're comfortable with him as the back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, obviously we can go back and kind of look what he did last year a little bit in some of the games. Obviously, the preseason game. I mean, is it something that you know, would you like more time? Yeah, you would like to get another game or two, you know, to see him in a little more action. But what he's proven to us in practice the last couple of years, what he's done out here, what he did in the game the other night. Again, he was smart with the football, made great decisions, threw the ball with accuracy, and those are all things you look for in the backup. So, you know, he did a nice job in you know, so kind of solidifying that spot.
Are there any plans to like move get big V some snaps at right tackle now that Lane might be out like week to week or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know Big V's can play tackle. We know he can play guard now. We definitely wanted to see him at guard the other night. You know, the other one is Pryor. Pryor's another guy that we can move inside and outside, and he played tackle the other night too. So we got some versatility there. And so we're going to continue to watch that and try to get them. You know, I think one thing Stout does is manages those guys and puts them in the position, you know, to coach them up and get them on tape so that we can have a little more versatility at that spot.
Do you feel like you've seen enough of Sanders? I mean, he only played six snaps in the first game. Or are you wanting to see a little more of the rookie?
Well, I mean, he gets a ton of reps out here. This is the thing is, you know, a game rep, yeah, okay, but, you know, if you watch practice today, this is a game. I mean, we're not tackling to the ground, but from a contact standpoint, from reading the hole, from burst, acceleration, these are game-like practices. So what he's shown out here, you know, has proven to us that he's very capable of doing that. He'll get more time as we go. We got a lot of backs right now, so we're trying to get everybody equal time, especially early. But he's done a nice job.
There was the one sack with Miles where he was pass protecting. There were two blitzers, and he took one of them. Was that the right decision?
It was the right decision. The thing about it was the tackle spiked on V. Had V anticipated the backer, he would have picked up one because Miles was in the right spot. He was going to the right guy but ended up taking the most inside defender. So really between he and V, they were on the right spot. They were just a little bit late in recognizing what was happening, but he was in the right spot. It was a really good – really good pickup by Miles.
Does that have to be communication?
It's a faith deal. I mean, they just got to trust. They got to trust that, you know, they're going to get that done. It's there's no call because it happens at the snap. But V saw it, but he saw it late and got edged, and Miles was in the right spot. So those are things we work on in practice. We'll show him the tape, and we'll make that correction. All right, thanks.
The way he treats players and the way he coaches them up.
Same he's done the last 3 years. You know, Phil's been on our staff. He's filled an important role for us. His role's increased this year. But I think one of the things that you see about guys like Phil that are genuine is he doesn't change his personality as his role has changed.
Josh Sweat got some first-team reps today. Were you able to
see? We don't have first-team.
Well, got some reps against Jason Peters. Mm-hmm. How can that matchup help him as he kind of –
he was out there beginning of the game too, so he's getting good reps against all those guys. You know, so it really doesn't matter whether it's, you know, JP or anybody else or a preseason game. He's just working hard to be consistent, working hard to prove that you know, that he can fill a role if we ask him.
What do you like about what you've seen in Eli Howard to bring him in?
Oh, Howell. I thought you said Howard. And I was, yeah, I mean, you know, good body for what we're looking for. You know, our scouts had liked him a couple years ago. He's had a little bit of production. He played sort of a hybrid role last year for Detroit, but, you know, we're a little bit different. You know, put his hand in the ground and let him come. He's big, he's strong, and we'll add him to the mix and see where it turns out. But he does have a little experience. It's little bit different than a rookie coming in. We should get him up to speed pretty quickly.
Yeah, a couple of those guys now who have come into camp late, what's the challenge for them to get caught up?
Yeah, the guys that come into camp late, particularly vets like that, it's not as steep a learning curve. Cyprian, Edibale, Harold, you know, it's not as steep for those guys because they have a base of experience to play and it's more terminology. Younger guys, like a Jane that came in, it was much tougher for him because not only is he learning what to do, he's learning how to do it.
And he had to go out and play a preseason game on like 2 days practice. I thought he did a nice job with that. But those guys are in a little different position. He's already been in a camp. You know, he's been working. He's in shape. So we'd expect him to get up to speed pretty quick.
Did you talk about Sendejo? A, what you liked about him, bringing him in, and then what he's shown you, including Thursday night?
Well, they didn't play a ton, so it's you never want to read too much into preseason games. It's a body of work that counts, and you know his body of work is not just what he does in preseason game or what he's done in training camp. It's what he's done over the last couple of years. He's a smart player. He's multidimensional. He's very instinctive around the football a lot. He's a good tackler, you know, and you get all those things. We can use those things on defense.
The first three teams that you play in the preseason are all sort of run-heavy offenses. Does it help to see different types of offenses that you guys see out here?
Yeah, I mean, anytime it's truly live, you need to tackle, and that's probably the biggest thing. We've had a couple tackle periods, but not very many. And I've said this a bunch of times. It's one thing for a guy to be in position, even in a thud period, and thud or tag off, and look good on defense. Oh yeah, we made that tackle. We look good. Well, you don't make all those tackles. You know, it is what it is. And the time you see it the most is in preseason games. It's not just facing run heavy offenses. I mean, who knows what anybody will do? It's facing different schemes, and that's good experience for our guys.
When you got into that picket fence defense last year, number team.
Wow, you guys can't get off of that, can you? Good God. If I had another defense that had never given up a first down, like it would be a different thing. But good gracious, go ahead, sir.
Okay, so a number of teams would get a few blockers out in front and then just dump it down and try to set it up that way. And you ran that here early offense, ran that here today against you. Did you ask them to kind of do that because you're never going to see those looks?
I don't ask offense to do anything in practice. We just play it as it comes organically. Play it as it comes out. That way you know. Bet stuff and go. We made a mistake in it last week, and if I know what's coming, I don't script practice. I don't know if you guys ever know. I mean, I just call it, and the reason I do that is because you have to vet everything against everything, and no better way to do that than just to throw the call out there, and whatever the offense has called, it's called, and that way you know if you're good at it or not. So. We got work to do in a lot of things, whether it's man or zone, third down and long, third down and short, and that's no different. Get it ready for when the games happen, and you play with discipline, you tackle well, you rush well. That's a tough combination when the offense is so far behind the sticks.
You have a look, evaluate the linebacker position now versus, let's say, when you first got in the league or even 10 years into coaching. How much different has the position evolved, and what exactly are you looking for now?
Yeah, I mean, evaluating doesn't change. I mean, you go out and practice, and you see who can execute the scheme, who's smart, who can make plays within the scheme. That hasn't changed. I think where you're getting the profile of position certainly has changed. The guys that are old school first down run stoppers that would come off the field on third down. I mean, they're passing the ball 60% on first down. And even if they call a run, a lot of times it's a pass. So I think one thing it's done is it's limited the one trick ponies. Like you could have a guy in the past that the only thing he did was third down. Problem is that, you know, tempo and everything else, that guy got to get out there and play. And same thing, the run stopper. Even sometimes the offense coordinator doesn't control if it's a run or not, you know, that the ball gets ripped out and thrown. So I think that has changed profile into guys. You have to be good at both. You have to have ability to match up versus tight ends and running backs. Every offense is looking for matchup tight ends and running backs. And we need guys that have enough multidimensional skill that can go. And then you add to the linebacker group, you add those hybrid safety guys that are filling linebacker roles sometimes. I think, it certainly has changed the profile. But evaluations don't change, whether you're evaluating a corner or a defensive lineman. It's just a different criteria. The way you evaluate is the same.
LJ Fort and Alex Singleton got a lot of playing time in the preseason game. Is there anything that stood out to you about them?
Well, yeah, they got a lot of playing time. Took a lot of reps for them. But that's good for them. you know, is what it is. Our numbers were a little bit, you know, low in some of those positions. Not just those guys, but defensive line had a couple of injuries. Guys got to play, but again, part of the evaluation is, you know, their whole body of work and their ability to be able to sometimes go play every snap because there's an injury and it happens during games. So that's what it is.
Yeah, I know you said 2 weeks ago not to read into the depth chart, but Nigel Bradham was listed as the Mike linebacker. I mean, in some install periods, we've seen him there. Is that the role you see from this year as a Mike backer?
Yeah, I mean, you again, the difference between the Mike and the nickel linebacker, Sam or Will, is those lines have been completely blurred anyway, and all you have to do is motion the tight end, and now the linebackers are switched and everything else. We've cross-trained guys. Nigel's done that for us last couple of years when anytime Jordan was down, Nigel went in and did that. He's a real good communicator. You know, he's good against the run and the pass. He's tough. I think he runs our show really well. You know, Jordan ran our show really well. We didn't have any setbacks. So if that's where it ends up, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Nigel. But he's not practicing right now, so it really doesn't make a difference.
Can you do more plays to treat Eli Harum? He's back in a 4-3 for the first time since college.
Really?
Yeah. So,
I just know Detroit last year. So,
what are your thoughts on what you saw on tape of him?
Yeah, go to the videotape on that one. Big, strong guy, tough. We liked him. The scouts liked him coming out. I think he's a good fit for our defense. We'll get him up to speed pretty quick and see where it goes.
Deshaun got here during the season last year. We were kind of eager to see what he could do with the full offseason here.
Yeah, the whole offseason was important for him. Like, when he came to us, he was a 3-4 outside linebacker and had worked, like, really hard to keep weight off, you know, and then get him halfway through the season, and then he's working to put weight on. It was just – it's a tough situation. He filled a nice role for us, and not just us on defense. He made a couple of plays on special teams last year. And now he's added some weight. You see a little bit bigger physical stature for him. You know, can do some things in there. I think you're seeing a stronger, more physical player than when he got here last year. Okay, good.
I had some more.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I apologize for getting here late.
Everybody doing good?
Yeah.
If you don't mind, just before we start, we got the news about Daryl Drake yesterday, and Daryl was a friend of mine. Obviously, we're all very saddened and wanted to wish the very best and our deepest condolences to his family and friends. Thank you. Okay.
Deshaun's reputation as being a deep threat, but yeah, just what he does in other facets of the game, the crossing routes that we see you guys working on a lot. Just how dangerous can he be in the other stuff, the short stuff?
Deshaun is a complete player. He can do anything that he wants. As a coach, it's really exciting because you can just say, hey, can you run this route or can you do it like this? And you could just tell him and he can do it. So that, you know, that, from a coaching standpoint, that makes it really easy. And we're just trying to move him around and have him do a bunch of different things because he is such a weapon.
Any difference in his speed from when you first saw him play and now?
You mean when he first came into the league?
Yeah.
I think he's still one of the fastest guys in the league, so he's still playing at elite speed level. So I don't know if that's answering your question or not, but he's still plenty of fast.
It's just kind of surprising for a guy.
Yeah, I know. He's one of the fastest guys out there every day on the field, and still has absolute confidence in his speed and ability to win. Yep.
What do you think about Josh Adams, what you've seen of him, and with such a deep backfield group, kind of what he has to do to make this team?
Well, he just has to come out here every day and, you know, first of all, do his job, be assignment sound, and, you know, run the way that we know that Josh is capable of running. And obviously, you know, we're spreading the ball around right now, trying to evaluate everybody and make the most of his opportunities when he gets them.
What do you like about Josh Perkins' game?
He's a big body. He's a very good athlete. He's got, you know, very good short area quickness and long speed and catch radius. And he's not afraid to put his face on people in the run game.
Speaking of tight ends, Alex Ellis had some nice catches today.
He did.
He brought him in late.
Yep.
How has he done? Has it been hard for him to pick things up?
Well, he's invested a lot of time in trying to learn what to do. So a credit to him and Justin getting together and getting him caught up in a short amount of time. This guy loves football, and he competes. He's tough. And, you know, I think each and every day that he's out here, he's getting that much more comfortable. So it was a good pickup by Howie and Andy.
I know Clayton wasn't happy with the way he played on Thursday. How has he responded since that game?
Yeah, I think he's responded well. You know, he's come back and just gone back to work. He wouldn't know anything different. And that's part of being a rookie quarterback in this league. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to take your lumps. And he's just come back to work, and he's been great out here on the practice field. And I think he's put together a couple good days.
Things have ramped up for Cody this week as well. How do you see his progress with the extra work?
Well, sure. I mean, getting the extra reps has helped a lot. You know, he's splitting time. You know, they're on the back end of a lot of these periods, so not getting a ton of reps. So I think the more and more, and you know, he's a guy we added late in the spring too. So you know, he didn't have that big a head start on Clayton from that standpoint, and really learning our system. So both of those guys now have the opportunity to get a lot more reps.
How much does it help with Cody that you bring a guy in late, or a guy, or at least, you know, that experience, you can step in now with the injury to Nate and be able to pick it up.
Right. I think, you know, having been through a couple different systems, you know, you build up the background with the language and also the concept. So, you know, a lot of these past concepts, they overlap in different systems. So he's got familiarity with, you know, maybe the progression and those kinds of things that help him settle in. It's just a different language and learning the language.
Like, you'll see Nick Foles on the other sideline this week, even if he's not playing.
Yeah.
What kind of imprint would you say he still has on this organization and quarterback?
Well, I mean, we certainly do appreciate everything that Nick did while he was here, you know, as an Eagle. And we had a lot of success with Nick, and know that he's moved on, and, you know, wish him all the best there in Jacksonville. Obviously still has a lot of friendships here, and looking forward to seeing him before the game.
You've been using a few more two-back personnel groupings in camp. What do you like about them?
Well, you know, just trying to have versatility in our personnel groups. We think that, you know, Darren's somebody, if that's what you're talking about, he's somebody that can draw a lot of attention. Plus, we know how effective he is with the ball. And, you know, and even in the passing game as an outlet player or even a primary receiver. So we just want to make sure that you know, we're working everything into training camp right now so we can call on it when we need it.
What's important? Have him back good, you think, and is he gonna?
Yeah, I think he's still progressing, and you know, just whatever the trainers say that he can do on a day-to-day basis, and we just try to work him in and stay within those parameters. So get healthy would be number one, and then once he gets out there, just go and perform.
Do you need to see him in games, you think?
He needs to be healthy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything else beyond that where he can really go out and play full time, which, you know, we're still progressing through that.
How do you think some of the younger receivers did in their first live action? And Charles as well, he's a veteran guy, but right. New to this offense.
You know, I think it was a kind of an up and down game, and you know, those guys got in there and made some plays. But it's not just the games that we're evaluating; it's the total body of work, and so it's each and every day out here at practice, and then getting in the games and seeing what they could do, but. It was a good start for some of them.
What's impressed you the most about JJ throughout his whole body of work?
I think that he's been able to come in and learn and pick up what we do from that standpoint. Very, very few errors. And now he's got that foundation, you know, can build, you know, from a technical standpoint each and every day, talking about how to really become a true NFL receiver.
Do you think Sumalo has become, you know, somebody you don't worry about?
I would say if you ask anybody on the offensive staff, we got a lot of confidence in Isaac. You know, a guy who's played guard, center, even tackle in the middle of a game without getting any game reps. He's very dependable. He's smart. He's athletic. We're lucky to have Isaac.
He has a different body type than the other quarterbacks he's had in the past couple of years. Do you have to change anything in the offense?
No, we don't change anything there. I mean, he's been that size. He's played a lot of ball at his height for a long time and been very effective. And you saw him make some good throws out there today. Is it?
It kind of shifts to okay. Season mode.
Yeah.
How would you assess the camp Carson's had?
I think he's had a tremendous camp. I really do. He's come out here to work. He's playing fast, communicating great with everybody. Made a lot of really, really good throws. Completion percentage is very high. I think he's had a very productive camp. All right, guys, thank you.